Okay, today's scripture reading is 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. You can find that on page 995 in your Black Bible. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Bridget, for sharing your gift with us this morning. You read that very well. Thank you. It is a gift. It is an opportunity. So whatever we do here, we are serving one another. Jonathan shared that with us this morning. It is the church that builds up the church. So even when you come up to read the word, you are using your gift to build up the church. So thank you, Bridget, and thank you others who come up and do that as well. I also just want to thank everybody before I get started. Thank you for your prayers and your help this week. Mama was gone, so brain is fried. I am tired, and I am thankful. So many of you, I know all of you are praying for me. I asked for prayers all this week. Thank you for that. I felt your strength. I'm so thankful for that. Thank you for helping your family, taking the kids for a day. Again, the body building up. The body. I just wanted to thank all you for that. What we've been seeing in our study of 2 Timothy up to this point, and we'll continue to see today, is Paul's continuing to ask Timothy and us to reflect on our life of faith. He's telling us to reflect on how we came to be called, how we came to our ministry, how we came to start using our gifts for him, and he's told us to do that by seeking how Christ came to us and how now that has been working out in our lives. And he's wanted us to remember that because he knows we're going to gain strength from that, as we learned last week. So he says, reflect on your calling, reflect on your sincere faith, how that has come about and how that has transformed your life. Timothy and all of you, let that strengthen you, as we talked about last week. Let all this stuff strengthen you so that you aren't afraid to share the good news. You're not afraid to take what you have learned and share it with those whom God has placed in your life. As we talked about last week, preach to everybody, disciple a few. Let them know the intricacies of what you have been learning, and they will also teach you. So the body builds the body. So let that strengthen you. Let that motivate you to share, and let that strength empower you to persevere, because here's what happens when you share the gospel. Suffering comes with it. It's a promise, and we've been talking about that a lot in our study already. So that's what Paul has for us. He's going to tell us to continue to remember. So far it's been self-focused. How has God helped you? How, by the grace of Christ, have you been strengthened by this? And now he's going to switch our focus, and he's saying, underlying all of this is this: remember Jesus Christ. So he's asking us to reflect and remember again, only this time the focus is going to be on Christ. And here's why. He's going to give us some truths today that will give us confidence for perseverance in the Christian life. So last week we actually talked about that perseverance. What is perseverance? Well, it's enduring the suffering that we're going to have to go through for preaching the gospel. Now Paul knows we need confidence for that. And so far we've been reflecting on ourselves and how God has worked in our life. And that's good, but now he wants to build us up in confidence with where that confidence truly comes from: Jesus Christ. So let me pray for us, and then we'll get rolling here. Father, we come to you this morning admitting that we are weak. Our minds have not fully arrived yet, but we are thankful, as our brother Paul shared with us in his words last week, that you have given us a mind that is able to think over these things that Paul writes and that you have proclaimed to us and revealed to us, that you may give us understanding. We ask for that this morning. Would you give me strength, Lord? Would you give me confidence? Would you give me wisdom to speak well about the things that are in our passage today, things that are far too glorious for my mind to comprehend fully. But Lord, in Christ, we can come to a full understanding of what is needed to be known for our salvation and for the salvation of our brothers and sisters. Would you be with us in our minds and hearts this morning as we come to your word? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I said, we're going to look at four truths. I see four truths in this text that bring confidence to our persevering in Christian life. And these truths are important. Along with these truths at the end in verses 11 through 13, we get a trustworthy saying. This is something for us to take home with us, to remember constantly as we're remembering Christ. Let's remember this trustworthy saying. So, first truth is this. The risen Jesus Christ reigns now and forever. That is an amazing truth. And here's what's amazing about that. This has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with him. He reigns. He reigns. He is where you are going to find your strength. So let's look at verse 8. Paul says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. So here's what Paul is saying. Timothy, he said this last week too. As you have heard these sound words from me, entrust them to others. You've heard this message from me. I'm not the originator of this message. I call it my gospel, but what Paul's actually saying is, by the will of God, I've been made an apostle. I've been entrusted with this word to share it with you so that you can share it with others, so that they can share it with others. So he's saying, by the will of God, this is his message. I'm an apostle, but this is my gospel that I'm preaching. Remember Jesus Christ as preached in it. And he's going to give us two ways to do that. But here's something significant in there. This word remember, we look at that and we may think, okay, this just means never to forget Jesus. But actually what the Greek word for remember here means is to continually remember Jesus. Not just on Sunday. Not just on Wednesday night Bible study. Not when we're thanking him for our food. Those are probably often times that we think about Christ. But what Paul is saying here is never let Christ leave your mind. Ever. When you go to work, you are to be remembering Jesus Christ and knowing that God has placed you in that space to share him with whoever you're with. Remember Jesus Christ continually. And then two specific ways. First, sorry, I put this up here. This is the same thing Colossians told us. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Let's not put the things that are in our life ahead of remembering Christ. Let's constantly remember him. It's easy to push him off to the side when we go to do those things, when we go to our job, when we go to these other places, when we have the schedule to keep up, when we have swim meets and other things to catch up with, right? Life is crazy. Remember Christ in all of that. And he's going to use you in those moments and in those spaces. So have your mind fixed on those things. And what specifically? Well, remember Jesus this way, risen from the dead. We sang about it this morning. Jesus is alive. How important is this to our gospel message, to Paul's gospel message, which is now ours, that's being entrusted to us? Well, the first sermon we have recorded, ever preached after the resurrection of Christ, Peter says this, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, God raised him up, losing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. The power. Death is a frightening thing. We see it everywhere. As loved ones approach death, as we approach death, which all of us are, it can be frightening to us. We need something more powerful than the fear of death to overcome us so that we can live for Christ, so that we can remember him always. God did that. He raised Christ from the dead. He has shown us eternal life. It has lost its pangs. Death cannot hold us anymore because it can't hold him. 1 Corinthians 15. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. How important is it to remember that Christ is raised from the dead? If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. It means it's worthless. It means nothing if Christ is not raised from the dead. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Do any of you have loved ones who have passed, who have had faith in Jesus Christ that you can't wait to see again when he comes back? We have that promise because Christ has conquered death. Their faith is futile if this is not true. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, to bring blessing to this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, truth is what Paul's saying here. In fact, definitely, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. What that means is because he is risen, we will be risen. Amen? Amen. Because he lives, I can see tomorrow. So important. That power that raised Jesus from the grave is alive inside all of us who believe today. Romans 8, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. That is amazing. Can you fully comprehend that? Because I can't. But I know it's true. Because it's happened in my life. I've been transformed. I know it's true for some of you because your lives have been transformed by this message that Jesus lives. So this is one way we are to remember him, risen from the dead. So important. So much power behind that. That should give you confidence. The offspring of David. I like how he throws this in here because some of the things going on in this church that Timothy's at, if you remember from 1 Timothy, he says that these false teachers like to devote themselves to myths and to endless genealogies. Paul's worried about one genealogy and one genealogy only, the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's the son of David. What's that make him? The promised Messiah. Paul's not the only one who feels this way. The whole New Testament is like this. Look at how Matthew starts his gospel. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Matthew's not worried about anybody else. Matthew's worried about Christ and his genealogy. Christ came from David. This is important because the Jews know the Messiah is coming from the line of David. This is who they're expecting. Listen to the angel who speaks to Mary. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. No doubt in this angel's mind that Jesus comes from the seed of David. He's the Messiah. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. This is what this tells us about Jesus. He is king. And no one can take that throne from him. Why? Because he lives. He can't be overturned. He can't be killed again. He has overcome death. So not only is he king, he's king forever, eternally. That should give us hope and strength. And confidence. He is the promised Messiah. This is the Messiah as preached in my gospel. When we remember Jesus Christ, remember him by those two things, that he lives and he's the promised Savior. That's important for us. That will give us confidence as we suffer persecution for preaching this gospel. As Paul is preaching this gospel, and others around the world are preaching this gospel, he wants them to come to a full knowledge and understanding of this. This is what he's constantly praying for. He writes this to the church in Ephesus. He's praying for them. He says, here's what I pray for you. I pray that you continue to grow in the knowledge. And there's a whole bunch of stuff he lifts, but then he gets to here and he says, I want you to grow in the knowledge of what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. Here's what Paul's saying. I want you to know the power that is alive inside of you from the risen, glorious King Jesus who will reign now and forever. According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly place, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, which means now, but in the age to come, forever. The next age is eternal. Good news. But as we've seen, when you preach this good news, suffering comes with it. And Paul is doing the same thing. For which, for preaching the gospel, Jesus risen from the dead, the offspring of David, I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. In our minds, Paul isn't doing anything wrong. He's preaching the gospel. He's preaching good news. But how's he being treated? He's been bound for it. Well, not just bound. He's bound with chains in a dark, cold dungeon by himself. Maybe chained to a soldier. Maybe not. Might just be all by himself. As a criminal. And the word here is evildoer. He's being treated as an evildoer for sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And not just any evildoer, he's facing death. This is a serious charge. Paul knows we need that power because he's felt suffering. He's seen suffering. He's telling Timothy, if you preach this gospel, the suffering's coming to you. It comes for a cost. I'm not going to get into all the suffering because I feel like we've been doing that. But I want us to look to Christ in those moments when we are being persecuted and when we are suffering for the gospel. And here's how we do this. We look to Jesus. We remember him. Hebrews 12:3, consider him who endured, Christ, from sinners such hostility against himself, so that, here's the reason, you may not grow weary or faint-hearted, right? So that you persevere. For to this suffering you have been called. And the suffering here in Peter that he's talking about is specifically having those revile you for doing good. In the context of that letter, that's what Peter is saying. Peter is saying, you are not going to live the way you used to live. You're going to have this new life, and you are going to do good, and you're going to be reviled for it. That's suffering. And for to this is what you have been called to, exactly that. Because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that, reason, you might follow in his steps. Not only to death in this life, but to life in the age to come. We are following Christ. Remember, Christ came and was obedient to the point of death on a cross, and he has called us to do the same thing. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me from this life to the next. So that's where we are to look. That is our promise. This is a truth that should bring us confidence. The risen Jesus Christ reigns now and forever. Truth number two, the word of God is not bound. I didn't have to change that one at all. It's right in here. But the word of God is not bound. Paul's bound. He's not going anywhere. He's stuck in a cell. Do you feel like that sometimes? Like you're in your own little world, in your house, and you're doing the best with what you got, right? How bound are we really is my question. Paul's bound. But what he recognizes is the word of God is not, and here's why he recognizes that, because of the experience that he's had. Let's look at Philippians. We've studied this. It's been a little while, so let me refresh a little bit. Paul says, I want you to know, brothers, as he's writing to the church, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. So here's what he's saying. I'm in prison, And to most, that would seem like I've been shut down, but although I'm in prison, the gospel continues to advance. It's amazing. Well, how has this happened? He says it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard. So those who Paul actually is chained to, we know he's chained to somebody in Philippians, and he's sharing the gospel with them. And everybody knows he's not in here because he's a killer. He's not in here because he's a murderer or a rebel. He's in here because he preaches this Christ who lives and reigns on the throne of David. That's why he's here. And he will not move from that truth. He just sits here and takes it. And with the time that he has, he's going to share it with everybody who comes in. Are you doing that in your home? If you feel bound in your home and you're afraid to come out and share Christ, are you at least doing that in your home with your children and whoever comes over? Are you as bold as Christ, as bold as Paul, and as confident as Paul that the word of God is not bound? So no matter where I'm at, maybe you feel bound at work. Maybe you feel like there's some restrictions there that you can't cross. That didn't stop Paul. And Paul said, everybody knows. That's true. Not only these guards, but the brothers as well. That's what he goes on to say. Most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, it didn't scare them away. It made them more bold, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Why? Because if Paul can do it and the power of Christ is living in him and that same power of Christ is living in me, I can do this too. And if Paul's willing to suffer and persevere for this, I'm willing to suffer and persevere for this too. Because this is good news we have. This is good news. Paul goes on to say, therefore, so since I know the word of God is not bound, therefore, so I endure everything for the sake of the elect. And again, this happens to me where I get the passage where we get to talk about something fun like election and predestination. Eric, how do you do that? So instead of trying to answer all the questions about this, let me just say that I've had my wrestle with this for a few years now. And instead of laying all of my wrestle on you, because I want you to have that wrestle, I'll bring out some things that I think are important for this passage. But if anybody wants to sit down for a cup of coffee and talk more about this, come pick my brain. And I will entrust to you the things that the Lord has entrusted to me so far on this subject. Okay? So let me try to be gentle, delicate, and wise with this today. And your prayers would help. So the question is, first off, who are the elect? We have to answer that question because this is who Paul's suffering for. And if this is who Paul's suffering for, we need to suffer for this as well. Okay? I think Ephesians 1, and Mark read this last week as we were praising God, singing worship songs, gives us the best answer for this for today. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ. God did. God the Father has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us. I'm highlighting the key words if you can't tell. This is election. He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. God predestines some to be saved. If you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and is now alive, reigning forever, you are the elect. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been chosen by God to bring his message to the world. That is an amazing, glorious truth to me. And like I said, I've wrestled with that. That is amazing to me. I do not understand why. But his word says this is what he has done. So the elect are those who truly believe, who have been chosen by God for this. Paul says, therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect. Now he gives us the reason, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Uh-oh. What do you mean, may obtain? What do we mean? Okay, so here's my next part of this. We need to know that election is sure. Because if we just read this at first glance, it doesn't look like it says that. It doesn't look like it says that it's certain. It says you may obtain it. Well, Paul said this. Most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak. So here's what Paul's saying. The reason some are coming to faith is because of Paul's suffering, not in spite of it. It's because of his suffering. It's because Paul's perseverance, his faith is being tested. They're trying to shut him up, and he's not. He's persevering. He keeps going and going and going. He's the Energizer Bunny of the gospel. He doesn't stop. You want to kill Paul? To die is gain. I could go be with Christ then. Go ahead, kill me. All right, let's let you live. We'll just put you in prison. To live is Christ. Matt Chandler says that often, and it's so true. This guy is impossible. The word of God is not bound. So what Paul knows is there are some elect out there who haven't believed yet, but they're going to believe through Paul's suffering because Paul's suffering is advancing the gospel. So God is going to get some through Paul's suffering. God has ordained Paul's suffering so that some elect will be saved. So here's truth number three. The salvation of the elect is sure. All right? So since this is Paul's reasoning, I'm going to endure everything. I'm going to endure being bound with chains as a criminal. I'm going to do that for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. I want to make sure salvation is sure. So here are some verses to help us with that. This is Jesus speaking. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Remember that. It's going to be important later. This is a promise from Jesus. I will never cast out. Sounds sure? Sounds certain? For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. Does that sound sure? From the mouth of Christ. That is sure. John 6, 44, 45. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. For the scripture says in Romans 10, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, good news for us, because now we can be saved too. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God's word, not mine. Is it sure? I better see some nodding heads in here. Is it sure? This is a truth that we want to know from today. Is it sure? It's sure. It's certain. It's true. Now, people can react against this by saying, if God has already chosen everyone who will be saved, then why witness? If they're ordained to be saved, they will be saved apart from anything that we do. That's not so according to what we've been talking about today. Here's why this is important. God has ordained salvation for his elect. It's sure. We just read that. But God has also chosen clay pots to bring the message to the elect. That's us. God has ordained the assurity of it. Now God has ordained the means of it, which is me and you and every other Christian in the world to go out and take this message. Why does this give us confidence? Because if there are elect out there and God is using us to go get them, we need to share the word. And that's what Paul goes on to say after he says this. Look, he says, how then will they call on him who they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And if you preach, as we've talked about, you will suffer. Endure. Persevere. Keep going. It's a fearful thing knowing that when we preach, we're going to face suffering. And Paul was fearful often in his ministry. And I love this in Acts 18. The Lord said to Paul, Paul is scared. He's preaching the gospel. He doesn't know whether he should stay or go. The Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent. Go on speaking. No matter where you're at, go on speaking. Specifically here in this purpose for Corinth. Why? For I am with you. There's one reason. And no one will attack you to harm you. There's two reasons. Here's the main reason. For I have many in this city who are my people. There's election again. And God says, I'm going to use you and what you say to get them. So go on and preach, brother, because I have people here. Covenant Community Church, there are people in Coldwater who are elected. How are they going to know him if we are not preaching him? That's why we do so much here to be true to this and to share this with everybody, because there are elect out there and our means are sure. We can do this. We can be confident about it because election is sure. There are people in your backyard who are waiting to hear this message. Man, if this doesn't get you fired up for Mission Week, I don't know what will. Persevere. Salvation is sure for the elect. The means are sure. We're the means. That's the main reason to speak. So that the elect may hear, just as you have heard. So here comes another question. How do I know for sure I'm one of the elect? Well, luckily, Paul gave us a trustworthy saying to help with that. The saying is trustworthy. So, a trustworthy saying, this is something we can measure ourselves with. For, the saying is trustworthy. For, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. Just like we talked about last week, just like the soldier denies himself to please the one who enlisted him. He loses his life. He does not get entangled in civilian pursuits. That is what our calling is. So we check ourselves, have we lost our life to say it? Have we lost our life to please Christ? Do not let the things of this life entangle you. If this is you, if you are continually getting rid of those things in this life that entangle you, then you will be raised. If you have died with Christ, you will also live with Christ. Beginning of verse 12. If we endure, persevere, we will also reign with him. Just like last week, like the athlete, we are to train to win. We are to run to win. We are to finish the race. Train to win, run to win, finish the race. You don't get crowned if you don't finish the race and finish the race well. Tony Holman does not beat his best personal time in a marathon if he doesn't run the race again and finish it ahead of the time that he did it before. Train to win, run to win, finish the race. Just like the farmer as well, who toils and then patiently waits to see if God brings rain and then growth, and then he has to get back out and toil again to bring the harvest in. Waits for God to bring growth. If this is you, if you are training and running to win, and you're patiently waiting to see the growth God brings, that you may taste the harvest first and then share with others. If this is you, then you will reign with him on his throne. And this is a promise. We get to reign with him. That is amazingly glorious. That throne must be huge to fit all of those who are going to believe in him. But there's another side of the coin here. If we deny him, he will also deny us. And many of us are familiar with Matthew when Jesus says, many will come saying, look, Master, look what I've done for you. And I will say, I never knew you. In other words, you were never elect. You never truly believed. So the flip is also true. He will deny us if we deny him in our hearts. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. This doesn't mean faithful to you. He does not remain faithful to you per se. And there's a qualifier here. For he cannot deny himself. He remains faithful to himself. So here's what we can use this saying to judge and discern ourselves. And here are some verses to help us with that. See, we should be concerned if we are not growing in faithfulness, and we hear that in these verses. Hebrews 3:12, take care, brothers, all of you together, lest there be any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Peter said it this way in one of his letters, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. We should be concerned if we are not growing in faithfulness. But Christ cannot deny himself. So it's this, and Eric has said this often. The day you first heard the gospel and first believed, as you look back at your life, do you see continual growth? Are you continuing to grow in your walk with Christ? Or not. This is an indication to us that yes, we can be sure we are one of the elect. We should be concerned if we are not growing in faithfulness. But here's the last truth. Jesus Christ is immutable. Fun word. What does immutable mean? I'll let Hebrews tell us. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Slugs and bugs. You know I had to. It's ingrained in there. Jesus doesn't change. So if he's faithful to himself, instead of faithful to me, because there's going to be times where I feel faithless, I don't want him to be faithful to me. I want him to be faithful to who he is, the living king who reigns now and forever. I want him to be faithful to that. Why? Because that gives me certainty that my election is sure. It gives me certainty that there is life to come after this. And here's what's awesome about that, is Christ intercedes for us. So I wanted to pick on Peter here, because Peter's the one we all know who denied Christ three times. Man, if there's anybody who might be questionable if he's really elect or not, this is the guy, right? He seems pretty faithless. Here's Jesus talking to him before that night. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Peter, this isn't dependent on you. I'm praying for you. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Jesus says this because he knows Peter's going to deny him. And Peter's going to feel worthless. And he's going to feel like he can't do this. And Jesus says, when you've turned and when you remember who I am, strengthen your brothers. Persevere, get through that season, guys. When you're facing doubt, when you're facing what may be faithlessness in your eyes, do you come back to this? Do you come back to Christ? And do you get back on track? That's the important part. And Christ is praying for you in that. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Christ is praying for you now to not fall away, to persevere. That leads Paul to say this, and my heart is ringing true with him this morning, as you can tell. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, or being stuck in a prison, or being stuck in my backyard, or being stuck in my job, or being wherever I'm at? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We will persevere because of who he is. Four truths that bring confidence to us for persevering in the Christian life. The risen Jesus Christ reigns now and forever. The word of God is not bound, whether you are or ain't. The salvation of the elect is sure, which means the means are sure. And Jesus Christ is immutable. He doesn't change. So we can stake claim to all these truths because he is true. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, let us continually remember you as the risen King of Kings and Lord of Lords who reigns forever. Give us strength to share in your sufferings, knowing that your word is not bound and that it will find the elect, those chosen before the foundation of the world, for their salvation. Give us confidence to persevere, knowing that we have a Savior that is sure and certain and true. To the praise of your glorious name, Jesus. Amen.